lives. He's good things this year because he is a good God. I'm going to be talking about 10 prophetic signs for 2020. Most of these relate to us as a church or us as believers, and that we could have 100,000 signs. You know, God's a good multitasker. He's going to do amazing things in Asia and Africa and Europe and across all of the world. He's going to do amazing things in your life. You're in one season, I'm in a different season. He manages it all perfectly. And then he oversees his kingdom, like Pastor Joey said, the development of our lives in his kingdom so beautifully. I want to read you a little. If you are on Instagram or Facebook, follow me because I'm always posting beautiful pictures of my grandkids. And beyond that, sunsets and then prophecies. So here's a little prophetic word I released a couple days ago. Prophetic vision, I saw a smiling Jesus. Don't you like that? In the Renaissance, well, there wasn't any smiling pictures of Jesus because religion had embedded into the mindset of the church that God was always somber and always serious and even angrier and happy. But Jesus is, the Bible says he rejoices with us. And we have joy because Jesus is the author of joy. And heaven's going to be a really happy place, by the way. Saw a smiling Jesus walk into a kitchen carrying bags of groceries. When I asked Jesus what he was doing, he said, I'm changing the diet of my people so that they can be strong and healthy in the new year. Before he unloaded the fresh food, he proceeded to go through the pantry and refrigerator, closely examining each food item. He found several things in his search that he showed to me and said, this makes my children unhealthy and sick when they eat it. It's time to throw all these poisonous things away. You ready to get rid of some poisons? You ready to let some stuff go that God's ready to take and help you? I could see the names of many of the things that he was taking away and disposing. Some of the names were shame and guilt and anger, condemnation, unforgiveness, discouragement, regret, and so forth. He looked at me and said, your diet determines your destiny. My people can't continually feed on these poisons in their soul and expect to be overcomers. Then he began to joyously unload the bags of healthy, fresh food and said again, I'm changing the diet of my people so that they can be strong and healthy in the new year. You can't, listen, depression exists because it has a fuel, a food source. Discouragement, when it has a prolonged season in our life, it exists because we're feeding it something. Unforgiveness is a part of our story because we're fueling it. Anger often is the fuel of unforgiveness. But whatever your story is, God says, I'm going to cut off the bad thing and give you some good stuff. Amen? Like the Bible. Hey, let's make 2020 the year of the Bible. Let's make it God's word year in our life. And like Pastor Joey said, God's been getting us ready. 10 prophetic signs for 2020. The first thing, you know, God, I'm so excited about sharing these things because I believe that one of these 10 things is going to touch everyone here and those listening and watching now and in the future. That there is a powerful prophetic awakening that's going to register inside of you that's for you. First point, the return of the prodigal. Backslidden believers and leaders and preachers are coming back home. Isaiah 64 says it like this, when God was speaking to a broken people about their future and about the repairing of broken, divided, separated, and destroyed families, God said to them, lift up your eyes and see. Your sons and daughters are coming back home. Your broken family, your backslidden relative. And the church is going to have a revival of backsliders before we have a revival of unbelievers. We're going to see this first wave of people coming back to Christ. And I just want to declare over you and your family right now, if you have someone who's away from God, lift up your eyes and see they're coming back. Maybe there's someone that was called, had a high calling as a leader in the church or a leader in culture or some kind of great gift. Lift up your eyes and see. Because if you can see it, you can have it. You can see it, you can have it. Revelation is God showing us what he has for us. And I just declare that your family, your prodigal sons and daughters are coming home. Your prodigal aunts and uncles, your prodigal mothers and fathers, cousins, nieces and nephews. your prodigal siblings in Christ's name are coming back to Christ Jesus. And that God's going to change your viewpoint. God's going to change your vocabulary. You're going to stop talking about where they are. You're going to start talking about where they're supposed to be. And you're going to see a change happen in their story. The second prophetic sign I see for 2020 is the resurrection of what has been pronounced dead. Dreams and destiny, relationship, ministry, business, etc. There are things in your life that God's ready to breathe life into that look like they would never live again. But it's not over in your story until God says it's over. And God says it's not over. Okay? God took Ezekiel in Ezekiel 37 on a field trip. And it's one of my favorite scriptures about prophecy. Here's what happened. The hand of the Lord, Ezekiel speaking, came upon me and brought me in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of a valley. It was full of bones. Everybody say bones. Okay, so it was a lifeless place. And then after he got there, God gave him even a closer look at it. Then he caused me to pass by them all around. And behold, there were very many in an open valley, and they were very dry. So he saw the quantity and the quality. The quantity was there was a bunch of them. The quality was they were all dead. They were all dry. So the problem was big and the problem was bad. Now, the only reason God ever shows you how bad something is so that he can show you then how good he's going to make it. Being prophetic does not mean you're an expert on what the devil is doing. Being prophetic means you're an expert on what God's about to do. We need to be experts on what God can do, not what the devil's doing. Okay? And so he sees all of that. And then in verse 3, he says, Son of man, can these bones live? Do you believe that this lifeless place, that this place of brokenness and despair and failure and pain, do you believe that this could live again? Do you believe your dream could, your business could thrive again? Your family could be healed again? Your health restored again? Your marriage renewed again? Do you believe? And Ezekiel answers politically correct, and he says, oh God, you know. And God answered me and said, verse 4, Ezekiel's saying this, prophesy to these bones and say to these dead things, these worthless things, these forsaken things, these unvalued things, say to those things, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. So God says, I'm ready to put a prophetic word in your mouth about life into places that look like they're filled with death. Thank you, Pastor Joey. So God's going to change our perspective and give us a heavenly revelation about the possibilities of this year in every realm of our life. There are things we've walked out of God wants us to walk back into and prophesy life over. I'm not done with that. You prophesy over it. You prophesy my word, my grace, my healing. You prophesy my will over those things. Thus saith the Lord, he prophesies, verse 5. Thus says the Lord to these dry bones, surely I will cause breath to enter you and you shall live. I'll put sinews on you and flesh upon you and cover you with skin and put breath in you. You will live. Then you will know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I prophesied, there was a noise and a rattling and bones came together, bone to bone. It started coming together. Come on, stuff that's been separated, that's been torn apart, that's been divided asunder, God's going to bring back together. You're going to prophesy your family into healing. You're going to prophesy your business back into the promise God gave you of what it would be. You're going to prophesy your ministry, your life, whatever it is. This is the year of resurrection. Instead of us racing on to the next thing, let God heal the last thing. Third point. I hate to go so fast, but I have 10 points. The third prophetic sign for 2020, the restoration of what the enemy has stolen from your life. A lot of times people look at, like, what I do, ministry, is this, well, Pastor, what's the, you know, the main emphasis or the main, motivation or strongest point of ministry? Well, it's your testimony. The most powerful thing I have for you besides teaching God's word is the testimony of God's story in my life. And so that testimony is of restoration. Joel 2 says it like this. God says to broken people, I will restore the years to you. Not the days only. Come on. It's not just the beginning of a new year. It's the beginning of a new decade. It's your restoration decade. It's your restoration season. I will restore. I want to say some things over you. It's not too late for you. I didn't finish my graduate degrees till I was 40. I began this church when I was 45 years old. And almost 20 years later than I began the first church I started. Last year, I did a lot of travel and had 9 international trips and visited 40 cities. I had the most productive and fruitful ministry of any year of my life, and I was 61. And I just want to tell you this. Stop telling God what he can't do because you have a certain age. God showed up to Abraham and said, it's time. Abraham said, I'm 99. She's 89. God says, you think I care about those things? Old men will dream dreams. It's not too late for you. You're not too young for God to do amazing things. You're not too old for God to do amazing things. Whatever your age is, stop using it in the equation of your destiny. Proverbs 6 says this about a thief. When a thief is found, he must restore sevenfold of all the substance of his house. In the Old Testament, there's a law of double restoration. There's even a law of four times restoration. But in Proverbs, there's a sevenfold law. If a thief is found, and so Jesus said, the thief is the devil, John 10:10. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but I've come that you might have life, life more abundantly. So whenever God shows you what you've lost, it's not so you can live your whole life in regret. Oh, I've lost so much. It's so that you can make a demand for reparation and tell the devil you want your stuff back. I want my stuff back. I want my stuff back. Come on, it'd be like if your next door neighbor, you can see on your ring camera, your next door neighbor came over and took all your furniture. Well, you'd walk over there and knock on the door. Excuse me, I want my stuff back. You may not say it that nicely. You just say, I want my stuff back. The devil never gives anything back that he doesn't have to. He has to when you mention the name of Jesus and you stand on the word of God. The fourth prophetic sign for 2020, the revealing of hidden sin and strongholds in the church, the culture, and the nation. So don't be surprised. It's always, Pastor, another preacher fell. No, he didn't fall. He just got exposed. So God's mercy is such a long and beautiful and patient virtue. When people don't respond to conviction in a season of mercy, they eventually enter into a season of exposure or judgment. Same with the culture, same in government, in the culture, and in the church. Now, when God exposes something that's been happening, that's not a judgment. You with me? Why? If that person's living in sin, God needs them to stop it. They're destroying their soul. They're hurting the church. They're hurting their family, whatever it is. It's a reparative correction, okay? And so there'll be a lot of people that God has publicly exposed, corrected, and even, they've gone through all kinds of trauma because of it, that God's not going to throw away. You'd be shocked who shows up in church. Jesus said there'll be nothing covered that won't be revealed. Nothing hidden that won't be known. This is the big thing, and all of us should live with a transparency. I believe in honesty. I practice what I call honesty therapy. I like to be honest with my wife, my family, our church, with God. I like to live in kind of a brutal self-integrity because I know honesty is the secret to health. So if things happen, I don't want you to go crazy about it. It's been, in our culture, it's been kind of startling what's happened. We've had powerful people in Hollywood exposed for all kinds of really destructive behavior. People in government, people in the culture, and people in the church. It's all happening kind of at once. It all has a good outcome if we understand what God's doing. What is God doing? He's destroying the power of strongholds to keep wreaking havoc against mankind. So it's amazing what he's doing. It's actually a good thing and a healing thing, a necessary thing, and an important thing. Point number five, the fifth prophetic sign for 2020, the revelation of a greater intensity of God's goodness, glory, holiness, and love. A revelation of a greater intensity. So there is more for us in Jesus. There's more for us in God's kingdom. There's more. Remember in the same book of Ezekiel, in chapter 47, Ezekiel wanders out into a river. He goes ankle deep. He's splish-splashing around. That's where some people feel comfortable with. He goes knee deep. He goes waist deep. And when you're waist deep in a river, you have to calculatedly, consciously stand against this force. And then he went all into it. This is the all-in season for us in the kingdom. Come on. This is the all-in so that you experience so much of God's goodness. You become a carrier of good of that everywhere you go. That you experience so much of God's love, you become a beacon of love. Because you are so loved, you can so love. That's what God has for us. And that intensity is just going to get more and more better and better. Rise and shine, Isaiah said, your light has come. The glory, someone shout glory. When I was a kid, glory is always this mystical concept in the church. And, the glory's here. The glory is just God's presence. So the glory is something. Glory, kabod, means weight. The glory of God is the weight of who he is, the weight of his nature and character. So the more glory, it means the more of his substance or presence is with us. We need more. I'm telling you, there's a realm of God, and the church is going to walk into it. When every time we encounter him, it completely transforms our life. There's such a deep, powerful glory stored up for this generation. Haggai says it like this: the glory of the latter house will exceed the former house. Interesting. They built the temple. Haggai, Zechariah prophesied it. They built Zerubbabel's temple. They built it. It was a pale, could not be compared to Solomon's temple. So that scripture, I believe, was not just for that temple that was talking about the last day church. So God has reserved a depth of his intense glory, goodness, love, and holiness for us that no generation in history has known. Individuals have known, but we're about to have a generation-wide move of God that is going to be people that have encountered God so deeply, so personally, so profoundly that their lives are transformed by it. We're not going to have to learn how to witness. Here's the four keys to witnessing. We're going to be witnesses. We're not going to have to learn. Here's how you change culture. Here's the four keys to changing culture. We're going to be, every place we go, agents of change because we've been changed. Come on, love people, bless people, change people. Heal people. That's what God does. Six things God's going to do this year, I believe. The repairing of broken altars in the church, a renewed call to prayer and worship. The repairing of altars. So this is a big thing because there's more that God wants to do than he's doing, and the bottleneck there is not on God's side. So it's on the church translating heavenly desires into earthly prayer. So the prophet Elijah is going to turn a whole nation back to God. And one of the first things he does, he called the people too close to him. And in 1 Kings 18:30, he said, come near to me. They all came near. And he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. So the church is going to be known as a house of prayer again. 24/7, nonstop, however we do it. either, you know, on location or in homes, it doesn't really matter. But the church is going back to its first calling, which is to pray. The cool thing about this prayer revival in this season, it's also just so beautifully joined with praise and worship. So it's this prophetic thing of praying and worshiping and these things just flowing together, feeling God's presence, moving with God's spirits, declaring God's will, releasing a passionate intercession. Let the Holy Spirit move us in a great way for broken people. Really praying, remember the same prophet in the next chapter, at the end of this chapter, he says, it's going to rain. Hadn't rained for 3.5 years. Ahab, get in your chariot and get ahead of the clouds. It's going to rain. Hadn't rained for 3.5 years. In fact, here's what he said. I hear the sound of the abundance of rain. So he heard something no one else heard. He saw something no one else saw. And he said something no one else was saying. So right after he prophesied it was going to rain, he raced up to the mountain and got into the birth position, the position of prayer, and started praying for rain. He prayed 7 times. Finally, there was a cloud the size of a man's fist rising up out of the ocean. He said, that's it. So he prayed his prophecy till it came to pass. He prayed his promise, not his problem. Don't spend the majority of your prayer life informing God of your problems. Amen. Pray the promise, not the problem. Declare the promise of God, the word of God, the will of God over the thing you're praying about. And watch how powerful that moment becomes, that action becomes, repairing the broken down altars. And for all of us, it means that in our personal lives, it means that this year, we're going to make sure that before we take actions, we pray. That we're not going to act presumptuously, which is acting without talking to God about something. We're going to pray. Talk to God. Okay? Point number 7. The retrieval of God's unfinished business for families, churches, cities, and nations. And so this is kind of a big thing. Because God has eternal purposes. So God never changes his mind about what he's called something or someone to be. Okay. God hasn't changed his mind about what Phoenix is supposed to be. So no matter how the genesis of our city, the people, we're a newer state, people coming here from the east and people moving here, and people coming from all kinds of places now, God had a redemptive purpose, a heavenly cause for our city. When we uncover his purpose, we unleash his power, and we watch God do amazing things. So for every family, every person, every church, every city, every nation, there's heavenly purpose. And so part of what is really important to God is that he is allowed to finish his business in those areas of life. So no matter what hasn't happened or what has gone wrong, God has not changed his mind about you. Someone in your family is going to break through. Might as well be you. Someone in your family is going to be blessed. Might as well be you. Someone in your family is going to fulfill the purpose of God before God made you, he made, your whole family. My beautiful wife's given me a couple of DNA tests. We found out interesting things. I'm claiming all the good things and rebuking all the bad things. And but I kind of knew, Swedish and Irish, I guess, or Welsh, that's kind of the, Scandinavian, and that's the majority of it. They circled a little part of France. I'm not claiming that. No offense to my French friends. But before I came into the world, long time ago, hundreds of years ago, God embedded purpose into the maiden family. And the purpose never leaves, even though it's undiscovered. Just lives like a treasure buried in your backyard. Just when someone finally comes to God and comes closer to God, and God starts talking to you about your destiny, So much of your destiny is in the retrieval of the unfinished business of your history. Your history reveals your destiny, because there's a whole bunch of things that God wants to fix in your life or fulfill in your family, your story. So when I was 18 years old, I was locked in a prayer room at Life Pacific College University. And I was praying all night. And when I was praying all night, it was a music room, soundproof room. And I needed a soundproof room when I was 18 because I prayed like a maniac. And I'm praying there. I prayed for several hours, and I'm laying on the floor, and there's a piano in the room. And I had this thought, I wish I could play that piano. Now, after praying for hours and hours and hours, without even conscious thought, I was on my feet. Next thing you know, I was sitting at the piano, eyes closed, tears running down my cheek. I started playing the piano. No expertise, no lesson, whatever. So God gave me the gift of playing the piano, played a song perfectly called Emmanuel. It was a popular song in 1976. So I'm worshiping the Lord, and people say, where did that gift come from? I know where it came from. It was buried in the backyard of the DNA of the maiden family. And when I got close to God, he got out a shovel and said, I want to show you something that no one's claiming. Why don't you claim it? God wants to do his greatest work for you in the same area the enemy's done his greatest work against you. Just look at your family and in the areas, the main areas where Satan's unleashed his greatest warfare, God wants to give you your greatest victories. That's unfinished business. See, it's one thing. I pray that God heals you from any hurt from this past year. I know he can. He healed me. I know there's nothing you've been through that's greater than his love and his grace, his kindness. I know if we forgive people, God makes us forget the pain they've caused us. That's really a true story, really a true testimony of how good God is. But it's one thing to be healed from pain. That's another thing to be restored from what was taken. It's time for you to go to the next level. So, when I talk to people and say, hey, if I say, make two columns, make one column all the negative things in your family and the other column all the positive things. Guess which column is always bigger? I'm glad you're not going to believe my family. And we got this dysfunction. Jenny did this happened. It's fine to know all those things. It's not fine to know what God designed your family for. The most dysfunctional family in this room has a blessing from God buried in the DNA of your created existence that God wants you to find. There's purpose and blessing and destiny. And you break through. The stronghold over families is discouragement. The inheritance over families is blessing. When you break through the discouraging features of your family and you can overcome the discouraging events and people and heartache, you can find the blessing that God ordained for your family to have. When you follow, when you read the Chronicles and Kings, about the kings, so a couple of astonishing things would happen. Like, really wicked king would have a really godly son. Well, how could that happen? Well, it was always there. It was always there. It's amazing what we miss because we look at only what we've seen. When God shows us what's really there. I remember that my grandson, Max, had so much fun the last couple days with the grandkids. And Max got, a couple Christmases ago, a metal detector. Like a kid one, not a professional one. So we're going through our yard, and we found, like, 8 rusty nails. some other stuff. But we're going to the desert. We're looking for treasure. It's interesting. It's a mindset change when you start looking and become sensitive for hidden treasure. I wonder what I've been missing about my family. I wonder, a lot of times when we're children, family gifts are more evident. So if your family wasn't too dysfunctional early, those gifts tried to emerge in you, but through the hostility of life and without proper guidance and sometimes just the devil coming to steal, those gifts are taken. May God give you your childlike faith, your childlike heart, your childlike dreams back again, and you find out what you always were made for. Paul said this in Philippians, I'm confident of this very thing. He that has begun a good work in you will finish it. God's a great finisher. He's a great finisher. He's a great finisher. Come on, you're going to finish strong. You're going to finish strong. I want to set an example to my family and the church, finishing strong, walking with God. I forgot to say hi to some of my dear friends, Pastor David and Linda Dishram, all the way from New Zealand here today. Bless you guys. Great seeing you. Point number 8, 10 prophetic signs for 2020. Eighth sign, the reward of answered prayers and fulfilled purposes and promises to those that have been faithful. So I just want to say over you, it's harvest time. I want to say over people that have been standing in the gap in prayer and obedience and faith for years, some of you for decades, it's harvest time. It's harvest time. I like how in the Gospels and even in the book of Acts, they would often talk about the duration of how long a person had suffered. 18 years, 12 years, 38 years, 40 years, his whole life. And it was to give us this insight that it's never too late for God. And so this is not the season to let go of what you've been believing God to do. This is not the season to let go of the things you've been praying and believing and standing and stewarding these years. This is your season of harvest. Come on, if discouragement has been mounting a warfare against you, I say this to our church. Discouragement is often the greatest when breakthrough is the closest. It's breakthrough time. It's harvest time. Hebrews 11:6 says, without faith it's impossible to please God. Just keep believing God. Faith is the currency of heaven. He that comes to God must believe that he is, that God is, and that he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. It's one thing, we have the common doctrinal belief, every Christian believes God is. We have to be a Christian. But not every Christian believes that God rewards. But the Bible is filled with promises. And we obtain those promises not by some capricious act. God doesn't have a dartboard where he throws a dart and say, let's see what Maiden's going to get today. God honors faith. And faith in what he has said. Faith is acting on his word. Faith is believing that his word is true and acting on it. You keep standing in faith. Come on. This is your year to feed your faith and starve your doubt. This is your year to feed your faith and starve your fears. This is your year to change your diet, your internal dialogue, and feed the things God would do inside of your heart. Okay? It's time, it's time, it's time for reward. Ninth thing God's going to do, I believe, this year. A revival, the rejoicing and worship of the church will explode into a new level and dimension that will shake the nations. So, one of the really cool things that's happening, I was like 20 years ago. I was watching a news channel and up popped a commercial, a worship commercial on a secular station. And two of the people on that commercial, one was Israel Houghton, the other two of them were my previous worship pastors. But Israel will be with us Sunday, by the way. And so the Lord says to me, and they're advertising worship. Hey, look at all. And so the Lord says, do you know what's happening? And I said, yeah, all my former employees getting rich. What? He said, the greatest revival of worship the earth has ever known is happening in your lifetime. I'm preparing the earth for the coming of my son. It's cool. Last night in Atlanta, I found out on TV, and maybe the whole family watched it with me. Great worship service in Atlanta. 65,000 people there. Bringing New Year. Man, so exciting. And I'm going to tell you something. There is something that's going to happen in worship the earth has never seen. There is something going to happen in worship. As a young boy, I suppose I was a preteen or maybe early teens, in kind of the middle of the charismatic renewal when it hit America. And that's when people, it was primarily a movement that hit, kind of simultaneous to the Jesus movement, was this charismatic renewal, where all the mainline churches had revival. Catholics got spirit-filled, Lutherans, Protestants, every kind of Protestant denomination. So when they would come together, all these different doctrines, all these different histories, when they would start worship, sometimes in these large worship gatherings, the people wouldn't stop worshiping. And I remember being in a gathering in Southern California, maybe about 1,000 people. It was a world map camp. And they were worshiping the Lord in this big gymnasium. And everybody on the stage stopped playing, but nobody in the church stopped worshiping. And it's just, they were all singing in the spirit, singing in their heavenly tongues. They were singing. It was such, but like, and they kept getting more melodic and more beautiful. And all of a sudden, this heavenly soprano sound came into the room. And everybody knew it was angels. You could hear, we could actually hear them on earth, what they were doing in the spirit, because we broke into a higher realm. That's happened here a couple of times. It happened when BJ was leading worship one time. We had something happen. We got, you know, some of it on tape. A sound, a particular unearthly sound. Well, I don't believe that. Who cares what you believe? Angels are real. God's real. But speaking in tongues is real. And something's going to happen. Great, great scripture from Chronicles. 2 Chronicles 5. It came to pass when the trumpeters and singers were one to make one sound to be heard in praising and thanking the Lord. When they lifted up their voice with trumpets and cymbals and instruments of music and praised the Lord, saying, "For he is good and his mercy endures forever." The two big things, God's good and God's love. That the house of the Lord was filled with the cloud. The priest could not continue ministering because of the cloud. The glory of the Lord filled the house. God's presence, so it was, everyone was prepared. All the worshipers were prepared. The people were prepared. They came in already to worship. They worshiped accurately. And God just, he put so much of his presence in that room. No one could stand. Now, I think that's cool. We believe in being slain in the spirit. Most of the time in charismatic churches, people that go down, I call it courtesy falls. They don't want the preacher to feel bad, or the preacher just keeps pushing them down. I have dear friends in the ministry, if they pray for you will go down. They won't, they'll walk all the way to the back row. You will eventually go down. You have to. And you know, we come from a culture where, you know, God does amazing things. And I was praying for the founding leader of Calvary Chapel's son. Came to my church in Scottsdale and had long hair. And I felt to pray for him in a service like this. And I said, "Can I pray for you?" And he says, "Yeah, but don't knock me down." And so I'm next to him. And I said, "Okay." So I moved back about 20 feet. And I said, "Is this okay?" He says, "Yeah." So I prophesied over him. Now, as God is my witness, about the second sentence, he flew about 10 feet back. So he gets up right in front of the whole church, and he shouts at me, "I told you not to touch me." The whole church started laughing and laughing and laughing. Hey, I'm over here. Apparently, God wanted to help you. Bless you. Yeah, we believe in the glory of God. We believe, man, the saturated presence of God. It's but I'm talking about worship that changes cities. Worship that changes culture. Worship that changes families. Worship that changes neighborhoods or businesses. A depth of intensity coming through praise and worship and through the celebration of God, I believe the earth has never seen, and it's going to rock. It's going to change the world, and people are going to come to it. There's a sound the world's waiting to hear, and it can't come from people that don't know Jesus. It can only come from the church. A particular soul-healing sound. Point number 10. The 10th prophetic sign I see for 2020 is the recognition of the importance of the person and power of the Holy Spirit that will unleash an unending and unstoppable revival on the earth. So this is important to me because the church keeps acting like we're missing something. Oh, God, we, and God said, hello, hello, I sent the Holy Spirit. The same power that raised my son from the dead lives in you. We don't need another secret weapon or another new baptism. We don't need some, we just need to be more purposely surrendered, dependent on the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. So this generation of believers is going to fall in love with the person of the Holy Spirit and learn so much as he leads your life. Jesus said, I'm leaving. He preaches 3 whole chapters on this. He said, I'm leaving, but I'm sending another helper. Another encourager, another comforter and counselor, another paraclete, intercessor, strengthener, helper, guide, advocate. I'm sending someone just like me. When he comes, he'll do everything that I've done, but he'll do it simultaneously in all of you at once. And so Jesus, in his earthly ministry, perfectly represented the Father. The Holy Spirit, in his earthly ministry, perfectly represents Jesus. And Jesus said, everything I've said to you, he'll remind you of. He'll convict you. He'll guide you. He'll deliver you. He will show you things to come. He will empower you. You will receive power after the Holy Ghost comes upon you. Our loving God is patiently wooing the church back into a dialogue about re-engaging the Holy Spirit. Hey, it's great you have nice buildings. That's wonderful. Hey, it's great you have really good programs and successful, community outreaches. It's great that you have social. Our church is engaged. We've won 2x in the last 2 years Volunteer of the Year Award from the City of Phoenix. Well, we even believe in being socially active. But none of those things replace the dynamic of the Holy Spirit. And so I just want to say this to you. Once the church finds out that every believer is anointed, that every believer can pray for the sick. People say, Pastor Maiden, I need to pray for my sick relative at the hospital. I go often whenever I can, but I'm like, you go pray for him. I don't have a big Jesus and you a little Jesus. Take your little Jesus and lay his little hands on the sick. I don't have a big Holy Spirit, and you a little tiny Holy Spirit. Jesus said, if I've done it, you're supposed to do it. To all of us, the works that I do, you should do, and greater works than these will you do because I go to the Father. So we are going to discover that every believer is anointed to heal the sick, to cast out demons, to prophesy. One of the cool things about our school is you learn how to prophesy. Why? It's for everybody. It's the part. Hey, I don't know your history. I don't know if you were in the in crowd or the out crowd in high school. It's really painful when you're in the out crowd at high school. You hear about the party the next day. Sounds like it was a lot of fun. But in the church, everybody gets to party. Everybody gets to participate in the fullness of the Holy Spirit. Everybody gets to pray. Everybody gets to be have all nine gifts of the Spirit, all nine fruit of the Spirit. Everybody gets that. And so we're going back to our roots. The church age was born on the day of Pentecost, where 3,000 souls were added to the church. When the Holy Spirit was poured out and they spoke with other tongues, it immediately they healed a man that never walked. And all kinds of signs and wonders began to happen. And all kinds of wonderful things happened because the Holy Spirit was poured out. And God's taking us back to a great relationship with the Holy Spirit. I just want to say this because we keep looking. Well, revival, what happens when it'll start from the White House? No, it won't. It'll start in your house. Stop. Yes. Praise God. My friends praying prophecy over the president, that's great stuff. But that's not how revival's coming. Revival's coming when the church walks in the fullness of the Holy Spirit. When you and I are carriers of all the Holy Spirit's beautiful gifts and graces. When we have so much love, people are drawn to us. When we have so much joy, people want to be around us. Do you have there are people in your family that when you see them coming, you look for a way out? We want to be people filled with so much hope and joy when they see us coming, so much love, they can't wait for us to enter into their life. We want to have the most hope, the most joy, the most love, the most peace. We want to have the most prophetic. I belong to a pastor's group here of churches. We've been meeting together for quite a few years now, maybe 12, 13 years. And it's all large churches. So there's a couple of us charismatics. Most of them are evangelicals. Now, here's the cool thing. Every time I'm ever with that group, and most of them have churches bigger than us, really big churches, they always ask me to pray. Oh, but Pastor Meade, would you pray today? I said, yes, sir. Now, I don't pray in tongues over them. I don't act out of order. But I just spill off on them. Why? Because the Holy Ghost is in me. And a couple of these wonderful young leaders of really big churches I've been talking to now, and they're just so hungry for the Holy Spirit. What would happen to our city if a couple of the largest evangelical, non-charismatic churches, suddenly the pastors started shandalasikiing? That could happen, and I'm not saying that belittling them. Wonderful people. I'm just saying that when you have the Holy Spirit, it is recognizable. It's recognizable. It makes a difference. When someone who has the Holy Spirit prays, it's different than someone who doesn't. When you pray out of your mind, it's okay. When you pray out of your spirit, we're having a revival, but it's not because God suddenly, it's not because 2020 is a year of revival. Every year for 2,000 years has been a year of revival. We're having a revival because we are going back to a proper relationship with the Holy Spirit. When we let him fill our lives with so much joy in life and authority and revelation, when we recognize who he is and what he brings into our life, we're going to see so many great things happen. Let me close with the scripture. Acts 2 says this, "It shall come to pass in the last days, says God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh." That's us. Your sons and daughters or prophesy. Your young men see visions. Your old men dream dreams. God says, every place that receives my spirit will receive a heavenly perspective, divine revelation, visions and dreams and prophecies, the language of heaven showing us the purpose of God for us on earth. God can't wait to talk to you about your life and your future. And the Holy Spirit is the person who connects heaven to earth. We don't have to beg God to talk to us. He's already inside of us wanting to talk to us. Showing us things to come. Showing us what he would do in our lives. Amen. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Come on, lift your hands to heaven, would you? I need to stop preaching. Thank you, Holy Spirit.